The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm sitting here watching you two guys, and we were just talking prior to come on the air today of how absolutely insane and nuts everything is. This is a mix between acid-riddled I-don't-know-what and Looney Tunes and, I don't know, some kind of bad Disney movie. And so I'm getting ready to do the show and do the introduction here, and I open up this story. Russian surveillance aircraft flies over Washington secure airspace. And I'm like, wait a minute. I just heard today that the White House has said that they're proud of China and Russia for handling the North Korean situation and trying to put this thing down and telling this guy with a very bad haircut, stop. And then we're sanctioning them. We're sanctioning them because they interfered with our, no, I guess they didn't interfere with our election. Now the mainstream media, at least MSNBC, is calling for a suicide watch of Mr. Trump. I guess they figure he's severely depressed. But they're talking about stiffening the sanctions on Russia, and they got a Tupolev aircraft flying over the frickin' White House. I'm like, wait a minute! Stop! Stop the insanity! A Russian surveillance aircraft has made a low-level altitude flight over the Pentagon, the Capitol, and other U.S. government buildings in Washington. I'm trying to keep a straight face, folks. The Russian Air Force Tupolev Tu-154 made its flight on Wednesday as part of the Treaty on Open Skies, which allows military aircraft from the U.S., Russia, and 32 other nations to engage in aerial observation flights of each other's territories in a move which is aimed at promoting transparency. The Capitol Police issued an alert prior to the flight, noting that an authorized low-altitude aircraft would be passing over Washington without announcing its origins. The aircraft will be large and may fly directly over the U.S. Capitol, it said, adding that this flight will be monitored by U.S. Capitol Police and other federal government agencies. Wow! Maybe we can take pictures. The recent flight is scheduled to be followed by another one over the U.S. presidential Donald Trump's property in Bedminster, New Jersey, where he's currently vacationing. An aerial view of the Pentagon just over the river from Washington. According to a law enforcement source, U.S. Air Force personnel were on board the Russian plane. Oh, well, there's glasnost for you, if I've ever heard of it. Oh, my goodness. Well, isn't that great? U.S. Air Force personnel were on board the Russian plane, which has the capability of engaging in various intelligence gathering operations. Now, I'm sorry, folks. It's just sometimes it gets to be a bit much. Russia, seeking to fly high-tech surveillance planes over U.S.-Turkey, breaches aviation treaty by blocking Russian surveillance aircraft. Moscow, a U.S. military aircraft, landed on Russian airfield. According to the U.S. State Department, the treaty is designed to enhance mutual understanding
and confidence by giving all participants, regardless of size, a direct role in gathering information through aerial imaging on military forces and activities of concern to them. So why are we stiffening sanctions? We already, and again, folks, see, we're on a sleigh ride to hell at Mach 3 with our hair on fire, and there ain't no snow, and things are getting a little bit warmer here. And how insane is this, that once it was determined that this was a deep state operation, CIA covert, hey, looky over here, kind of story about Russia, this supposed investigation with the collusion with the Russians from the Trump White House to prevent Hillary. The only person who prevented Hillary Clinton from getting in the White House was, guess who? Hillary Clinton, by mere fact that she's Hillary Clinton. Okay, so all this is up and disappeared. And now we want to do... We need to do a suicide watch on Trump. You know, yesterday, and this was the important point that I wanted to bring out about this, that I watched a documentary, and it was centered around the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And, folks, this is when we had three disinformation channels called ABC, CBS, and NBC. Now, ABC was a relative upstart of that group, and they didn't have a whole lot of programming. Matter of fact, they had a lot of junk programming. And that, in the broadcast world, well, it basically boils down to you either have an audience and you can sell commercial time around it, or you don't. Ergo, if you don't have good programming that people want to watch, then you don't get the advertising, hence you don't get the money. So ABC figured a different role in how they wanted, and they made the bold statement of 90 minutes of this convention per night is all you need to know. And, yeah, they were probably right on that aspect, but they tried something different. They tried let's have a debate. Let's have conservative versus liberal. Now, there has been a building of identity politics. And back in the 60s is where this started. So we bring out the two that were probably best, Gore Vidal. He did the movie, by the way. He wrote a book and sold the book rights for the movie, Meyer Breckinridge, which was nothing but an X-rated movie before they come up with X ratings. Now, they didn't perform sex acts or whatever, but if you saw the movie, it was in direct opposition to the political landscape in this country. Let's push the envelope. Let's push the barriers here. You know, what's wrong? I watched Gore Vidal himself promoting all sorts of sexual stuff. Now, we're talking 60s here. And he was regarded and plotted and propped up by what? The medias. And, as I said before, very few of them. We didn't have the cable news or the satellite morass out there with all the garbage programming you could ever imagine. And this is where this identity politics started to really take root. So we'll just have the left and we'll have the right. And we'll let them go pitch battle on issues that should not be considered by a court. No suit should be brought. Supreme Court doesn't have to be bothered with it. The idea that anybody or anything with enough money could push this crap further up the ladder than anybody else could and get a hearing on it and get public opinion. And on it goes. This is a psychological campaign to psychologically condition the American people. And sorry to say, a good majority of them, being fat and lazy, more interested in sitting on their backside and concerning themselves about material things. And I'm not an anti-capitalist, folks, but again, that has been bastardized and pushed to the limit on what capitalism is. You know, in the future, in the history books of the future, they're going to refer to the United States as being a capitalist regime. No, what it basically did was gave people rights and liberties, the right to contract, to conduct their own business, and do it pretty much in private without the purview and permission of the government. So let's start the left-right paradigm. Let's separate the people themselves by bringing issues up that, well, just like a little tape recording. And I don't care for what election cycle it's for, state legislature, federal, I don't care who and what it's for at what time. Let's just spin up that spool there and get ready to hit play, and let's just do the old social issues all over again. You know, I said to Julie here today, I said, you know, this, the, and I don't even know what the hell to call these people, because they're kind of a hybrid of a flat-out communist. They're a hybrid of a socialist. They're part hybridization of fascism. It is a most curious mix, but it is one that a house it does divide. I tune into Fox News today. All I'm hearing is Korea, 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 Korea. What I said, my stance on Korea is simply this. Yeah, they're a communist regime. You know, we never backtrack to see where communism came from and how it could have been stopped dead in its tracks. No, we aided and abetted through the State Department, the moles and the trolls that were Trotskyites and had different ideas about how the United States government should be, but they're in, inside, and working within the government to make that important sea change. So here we are, all these years later, and we have a country divided. I said to Julie, I said, you know, I said, we were talking what I had in mind here with the sanctuary cities. And we have states and cities right now going, you know what? We don't care what you want. Your federal law, forget it. Now, there's an argument to be made, and I'll get into that a little bit as well this afternoon. This idea of commanding that the local police and sheriff, they be the dog catchers, if you will, of the illegal aliens. And there is case to be made here on the constitutionality of it. You know, we can't pick and choose and have the Constitution work in one instance and then turn around, and if we don't like the political aspiration or the agenda behind it, you know, we call it unconstitutional. Now, Andrew Napolitano, which, legally speaking, I've yet to see anybody, well, first in the volume of the amount of stuff that he brings to the public's attention, nobody else is doing this, or they're not getting the airtime that Andrew Napolitano is getting. But he made some interesting observations on this federal issue. You know, what have we been saying all these years, folks? Hell, I even asked the question, why do we have federal courthouses in all the states? That's because we got the feds here. We got federal law here. And, well, we can't just all go running back to Washington, D.C., satcheled up with our suited-up attorneys and invade that place. I mean, it could get pretty crowded up there in those courts, don't you think? 50 states? Well, Andrew Napolitano said earlier this week the Trump Department of Justice told the mayor of Chicago that it would cease funding grants to the Chicago Police Department that had been approved in the Obama administration because Chicago city officials were not cooperating with federal immigration officials. Now, the DOJ contended that Chicago officials were contributing to lawlessness by refusing to inform the feds of the whereabouts of the undocumented foreign-born people. thereby creating what the feds derisively call a sanctuary city. And Chicago officials have argued that their police officers and their clerical folks are not obligated to work for the feds. No, they're there to work for the people. In a roundabout way, they'd be working for the people to keep the illegals out. But we have the communist or the socialist or the fascist, give it a name, I don't give a damn. They're not American to me. They've got a better idea that sucks. You know, what's the difference between a Hoover vacuum cleaner and these people? Well, they both suck, and suck well. So we turn this now into an argument of what are the feds' responsibility, and, you know, so what is going to be the solution at this point? To send in an army of federal officers to be doing this? Let me back up here a second. So in this argument, you know, who's correct? By law, not ideology or philosophy, but by law. The concept of a sanctuary city does not mean it is a place where federal law is unenforced by the feds. Rather, it's a place where the local authorities have elected not to spend their tax dollars helping the feds enforce federal law. The term sanctuary city is not a legal term, but a political one. And the Trump administration has used the term to characterize the governments of towns and cities that have created safe havens for those who have overstayed their visas, or by refusing to tell the feds who these folks are and where they can be found. Can local authorities refuse to help the feds enforce federal law? In a word, yes. There is no legal obligation on the part of the local authorities to help the feds with manpower or resources or data to enforce federal law within the jurisdictions of those local authorities. During the Clinton administration, when Congress passed legislation that directed law enforcement to enforce a federal gun registration scheme, the Supreme Court invalidated the statute. It ruled that the feds cannot commandeer local and state officials and compel them to enforce federal law. The feds can enforce their own law. Now, the federal compulsion, the court held, violated the guarantee clause of the Constitution, which guarantees a representative form of government in every state. I know what you're thinking. These people in these states are not representing a form of government which we know and love. They've invented their own. Yeah, I get that. Now, if the feds could enter a state and nullify the will of elected state officials not to spend tax dollars, that would unconstitutionally impair representative government in those states. Representing what government is still the question I have to ask. But can the feds withhold federal funds from cities that refuse to cooperate in this enforcement of federal law? Yeah and no. In the post-World War II era, Congress began purchasing state compliance with its wishes in areas that the Constitution did not permit it to regulate. Let me read that again. Congress began purchasing state compliance with its wishes in areas that the Constitution did not permit it to regulate. Stated differently, since Congress can spend money on any matters it wishes, as long as it's arguably for the general welfare, but it cannot regulate for the general welfare. It has used its power of the purse as a way around the constitutional limitations on its regulatory powers. Now, what this comes down to, legalized bribery. In the Reagan administration, Congress offered hundreds of millions of dollars to the states to repave federal highways. And I'm sure you folks out there remember this. If the states lowered their maximum speed limits to 55 miles per hour. South Dakota objected. Its government wanted the federal cash for the highway repaving, but it didn't want to lower its speed limits. Well, the Supreme Court popped up and said, hey, we're the Supremes, and we ruled in favor of the feds. More on this. And how the government we used to, well, think we knew and we think we loved, now we're discovering exactly what it is. And it ain't pretty.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So on the bribe money to the states, you don't get any federal funding unless you lower your speed limits. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the feds. It held that South Dakota is free to reject federal dollars, mighty big of them, but if it accepts them, it must accept the strings that accompany them, as long as those strings are clearly spelled out before the cash flows and rationally related to the expenditure of the federal funds. Because repaving highways and the maximum speeds that vehicles would travel on them were rationally related. South Dakota had to choose between its cherished liberal speed limits and the federal cash. No surprise, it took the cash. Now, back to the sanctuary city deal. When the Obama administration offered Chicago and other cities cash to purchase new police communications equipment, it attached strings to those offers. But compliance with federal immigration authorities was not among them. Chicago's complaints about DOJ threats are constitutionally sound because federal strings can be imposed only by Congress and they cannot be imposed retroactively. Now, the federal funds awarded in the Obama administration without the string of cooperation with immigration authorities attached thereto may not be interfered with by the Trump administration. Now, if the feds do withhold committed funds that lack a cooperation condition attached, the court will invalidate that withholding. Now, in a refusal to cooperate with the feds, is this a form of nullification? In a word, yes.
Federal law is superior to local laws in areas that are primarily or exclusively federal. And immigration is unambiguously federal. Yet having pockets throughout the country without local cooperation with the feds fosters what the courts have called laboratories of democracy. You know, folks, they're even talking about it doesn't matter anymore if you were born in this country, whether you came in illegally, you should have certain fundamental civil rights. And one of those civil rights, of course, is voting. Now, many Trump supporters see the president a champion who will rid the country of those they see as unlawfully here. And they also see in liberal big city mayor politicians pandering to their interest groups. You know, the thought struck me yesterday, you know, where is the rest of Illinois? Where are the rest of the people of the state of Illinois? Did you think magically that you can just cast off Chicago and the political scheme of things and just push it right into Lake Michigan? That it doesn't matter? Well, this does matter. And do we think that the illegals and the ne'er-do-wells and anybody that wants to come, and I heard Rahm Emanuel's comments yesterday about they don't give a damn who they take in. Come on into Chicago. Well, are all those people, are they going to be tethered? Are they going to have little ankle bracelets or wrist bracelets on if they go out of the city limits? A little alarm's going to go off and the feds are going to swoop in? The point being that these illegals coming into the country, once they're in Chicago, they ain't necessarily going to stay in Chicago. They're going to spread throughout their state and the rest of the states. That's my position on this deal. So where are people of Illinois? I mean, why in the hell are you not, why are you not going after Rahm Emanuel on this issue? Going, you know, it's nice that you're a socialist, fascist, communist, give it a name, give it a tag, I don't care. You know, very nice. But you know what? We the people, you are not the governor. We the people of Illinois want you to knock this crap off. Because we're already bankrupt. You are inviting us into more peril than just more debt. End of story. You know, why does this come down between a battle between a federal court or a Supreme Court and Rahm Emanuel? Is he now the arbiter of the new democracy? Did Illinois leave the Union? Did they elect Rahm Emanuel to be king? Where in the hell are the rest of the people in Illinois? This is your state. As screwed up as it is. Where are you? Got a little bit more on this. This is a subject that's not going to go away, and there are going to be court battles and lawsuits, folks. Now, I've got no argument against the feds rounding up illegals and getting them the hell out of this country. We've seen the damage that has been done.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
So, a laboratory of democracy, worthy of cultural and political scrutiny, and perhaps even indifference when it comes to the feds. Now, as I said, many Trump supporters see in the president a champion who will rid the country of these that they see as unlawfully here. And they are, okay? The rich history is that the state and local resistance to the tyranny of the majority in Washington, a resistance as old as the country itself. The refusal of Massachusetts authorities to cooperate with the feds in an enforcement of Federal Fugitive Slave Act comes to mind. Now, the other side of the coin is unthinkable to my conservative brethren. If Hillary Clinton had been elected president, along with a Democratic Congress, and it had offered state and local governments federal funds with strings attached, requiring cities to make abortions available on demand, they would be whistling a very different and very federalism-based tune. So, they're serving their constituency. Can I see the petitions? Can I see the names that you've gathered from the citizens of Chicago proper that has told Mr. Rahm Emanuel, yes, we want every disease-ridden, uneducated, murdering, psychopathic, drug dealer, drunk, driving the wrong way down a highway, or just running around committing mayhem and crimes and rape and pillage and robbery. Yeah, I want to see
the constituency that Rahm Emanuel claims that he's representing. And again, he's not representing the interest of the people in Illinois, at least not in my way of thinking. Keith in Montana. I knew, Mr. Rogers, you were going to jump on this one. It's, well, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. How you doing there?
Mr. Staten, I'm doing fine. You know what? In lieu of everything you're saying there, I watched one of the most informative videos today from Ron Paul. And I like the way he said that. And you can, yourself, you can do this in your own studio down there. Look around. Everything you have there is mandated in some way through a federal regulation of the U.S. government.
Yes, sir, it is.
Russia is not our problem. China is not our problem. Korea is not our problem. It's all these, as you call them, asshats back in Washington that wear these $1,000 suits that give all these corporations these massive breaks and throw the people out into the curb. They're our problem. And through statism, people just keep... it's like they're blind. Whether it's like Hillary Clinton's crimes and stuff, or Bush's crimes, or even President Trump bombing people, you know? They just overlook all this stuff because they keep thinking they have this illusion of freedoms. And like I say, look around you.
You know, it seems to be a Chinese menu. You know, people are looking at this menu and deciding what they want and what they don't want. But the only problem is the stuff that they're picking out on this menu doesn't have a damn thing to do with the Constitution in the United States. And we are coloring so far outside of these lines, Keith, that we're still searching for that representative democracy. That's what they're practicing now, but it's in no way legal. I posited my position today, and I asked Julie, the secretary, I said, you know what? I said, if they were to start voting for amendments to the Constitution, what do you think politically where this country is aligned at now? And it's become identity politics. I'm right, you're wrong. You're on the right, you're wrong. No, you're on the left, you're a loony. But nowhere is the Constitution being discussed here and the actual limits of what the federal government can do. And that's what it was designed to do. I've had a lot of asshats, Keith, try to explain to me, well, I wasn't a signatory to that Constitution. Doesn't have a damn thing to do with me. It wasn't meant to be specific. You weren't born then. How could you be a signatory to a document that you weren't even around when it was created? But this was a document that was to structure a form of government, and it was the government's guidelines in which to follow. And, of course, Keith, we've seen that they haven't followed it very well. We now have anything goes, a representative democracy, as long as 51% of the people want it, well, they should get it. And I'm sitting here, and I'm pulling my hair out. I'm going, there is a simple solution to this problem. It is so simple, and it's staring everybody in the face. But you think we're going to dialogue to that conclusion? Well, let's let the Constitution decide. Hell, that's, Keith, you might as well yell out rabies or black plague. For as popular as that term is, you know, our form of government, it's highly unpopular.
Well, I'll say this. Having not yet been totally satisfied, you know, totally satisfied with destroying this country, the United States is always out to destroy some other country, you know. Well, you know, you spoke with, was it two or three weeks ago, with the gal with the vaccines?
Yes.
And, this mandatory vaccines that they keep trying to push. And then now, like Mike Rivero brought out on his show, up in Canada, they're telling that to get ready for, you know, telling the mortuaries to get ready for this massive crisis, you know. And I think this is going to be some more imposed vaccines to be shot into people. And yesterday when you were talking about the caller that called and asked about identity politics, the best way I would have said that is Gilead Atzman. He's the one that has the problems with the identity politics.
Well, and if you haven't noticed, isn't Gilead Atzman, he's in the UK, right? I think he is.
Yeah, the last time he was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
they were trying to shut him down, shut his band down. And, of course, Jewish origin, they're like that, and he's being, dissed by... everyone else that is Jewish just for his fact of coming out and saying things that aren't popular.
And doesn't somebody see a problem here? You know, with the loony lefties, the socialists, the communists, the fascists, I don't know who the hell they are. I don't know what they represent. They don't represent my opinion and view, studied opinion and view of this country, its form of government, the laws and the rules. You know, there is no dialogue. There's not an opportunity. There's no debates monthly or weekly or nightly of people chosen to go in and represent us on views or to throw around opinions and let people decide on facts presented, because there's a lot of lying, and people say that this is indisputable fact, as if they are untouchable when they're factually lying. So I'm looking at this scenario and I'm going, well, where is the end of this? There's literally no end to it until you revert to the law. And that a Republican form of government is what they're supposed to be running here. And it's out of control. The people that claim to be representing that republic or that conservative government, they've run so far afield that they're lefties. They're out in left field now as well. They might as well be. But we're having this big debate, and there is
no debate.
There's no equalization. And so what they do, you're exactly right, Keith, there's no debate, so let's just move right into censorship. And if that does not send a danger signal to I don't give a damn anybody anywhere, USA, well, then I guess they deserve to lose what we once had in this country. And I was just going to say, I was laying here
snuggling my dog, and I was thinking of World War II. And our so-called truther movement now that we have, those trying to instill the truth out there. And I was thinking about a bunch of us wearing these little, sewn-on things that, like a T for truther. I mean, we are actually being singled out for even speaking out. And I mean, it's because you love your country. You don't through statism, most people love their politicians. They will surrender their soul for their politicians. They'll even get arrested for their politicians. Why won't they do that for their own neighbors?
Because they may not be of their political party identity politics.
See, but we're American. I mean, I'm sure, John, you remember when we were younger, we sat down at our dinner table, we discussed the day's events with our folks, the school, everything like that. And there's none of that today. It's all taken to social media where people vent, and that's all they do, just vent. There's no dialogue.
No, this
is my way, and you're going
to
believe it.
There's just an opportunity to express anger. And anybody, you know, you've heard the old thing between a fight between a husband and wife, the most constructive is what, the first 15, 20 seconds? You know, that's when the truth and the issue falls apart, and that's where the anger and the passion and I want to scratch your eyes out comes in. You know,
I always like the line where the wife says, if you don't know what you did wrong, I'm not going to tell you.
And even if you did, I'll never forgive you for it.
Anyway, I wanted to throw that in there because I see this, well, it's like this, your highway, federal highway thing. If it's a federal highway, I could see that. But I know people have beat this in court, in county stuff, because when they mandated, like here in Montana, where they dropped our speed limit and they were cited for a certain speed when there was no speed limit, well, they went to the county to get the assessment of what the actual road was built for. Mm-hmm. And so they haven't violated anything. It's just a sign. And that's usually used to just regulate commerce, not the private public citizen that's traveling on public roads. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I got you.
The whole country's messed up, and if people don't wake up like that, we're not going to have a country here.
Well, and I think it was a good question for the people of Illinois. Where in the hell are you people at? You know, this is not just a battle between Rahm Emanuel and Donald Trump and Washington. These are people within.
Well, you saw Illinois.
What?
Illinois has what, 3,000 millionaires leaving because of the problems over there.
Yeah, and God, I mean
people are going to, they're going to flood in mass out of these areas like that, and their economy is even going to drop down even more because those big taxpayers and stuff aren't going to be there.
Well, we're in Texas here, and we're starting to get inundated with Californians. And I ain't liking it. I ain't liking it. All right. Hey, I appreciate it. By the way, by the way, weren't you tempted to call your show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
FOAD, we used to say in the old days.
Okay. That's an acronym. I don't want to know what it stands for.
It's Festival of Things Die.
Okay. Gotcha.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
See you later.
Now, here's another one. Do you remember when they start putting up the cameras and they start doing the face recognition? Do you remember the arguments that were given against it? And do you know what they came out and said? Well, their finding was, you know, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy if you're in the public. If you're in the public, I guess you're fair game for anything and anybody that wants to look at you, inspect you, do whatever. You know, you're only, you know, you only got privacy behind your closed bedroom door, and you don't. Because the feds were in there last week when you weren't home rifling through your underwear drawer and your wife's just to see, you know, what your, you know, favor is, I guess. I don't know. They don't have to tell you they're there. Well, federal court rules that citizens have no right to film politicians and the police in public. Wow. Claire Burnish, she says, contradicting the rulings of six other federal courts, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals annihilated free speech rights in upholding a district court decision stating citizens do not have the right to film public officials, politicians, police, and others in public. Now, this has been the big argument. And most of the cops I run into, if you've got your iPhone out, they're on their best behavior. Some of them will sarcastically and intimidatingly bring out their own phone and start filming you if they don't have a cop cam on them. You know, just to make light of the situation and irritate you a little bit further. You know, this whole thing of what the police state, I'm sorry, the police have turned this into is a traffic stop is just an opportunity to dig down deep in the cockles of your soul to find out what crimes it can charge you with. It's an exploratory, let's see what you can nail. You know, it's not, you think you were paranoid before if you saw a cop light you up from behind in your rearview mirror. Now it's like, oh my God, I might be tased or I might be killed. I can't make a false move here. People are scared to death. In affirming the decision of the lower courts to dismiss this deal, the Eighth Circuit effectively ended free speech activist Matthew Aiken's challenge to the Columbia, Missouri Police Department, which he accuses of unlawfully stopping and arresting him on multiple occasions. So this guy was going to camera up, man. Though nearly all charges were later dropped as he filmed their encounters with the public in public. Now, Aiken says the spate of arrests and harassments from law enforcement is brazen retaliation for the nature of his activist work, filming officers on the job. As journalist and founder of Citizens for Justice in 2011, a group committed to monitoring police for accountability purposes, Aikens frequently stopped to record officers' interactions with the general public, a tactic employed by a plethora of civilian impartial observation groups to stem an epidemic of police violence and veritable impunity in courts, so common to law enforcement officers who misbehave. Judge Nanette Lowry penned in a stunning decision, Columbia police officers indeed had probable cause to arrest Aikens, each time, and again, contrary to previous rulings from six circuit courts, he has no constitutional right to videotape any public proceeding he wishes to. Can we Marie Antoinette this judge? Is that illegal? Attorney Stephen Wise already filed an appeal on Wednesday for the court to rehear the case originally filed against Boone County prosecutor Dan Knight, two former Boone County assistant prosecuting attorneys, and several members of the Columbia Police Department. So, yeah, we were told, well, you're in public, you got no, You know, you don't have a right to privacy if you're out in public. You know, if you don't have anything to hide, you know, why are you worried? Well, out in L.A. now, the cops, they bought drones from Spokane, Washington. I think it was Spokane, Washington. And they want to start flying these little ditties around Los Angeles, and people are upset. And I'm sure it's going to upset criminals as well. You know, we can have total law and order and compliance in this country, folks, if we handcuffed everybody to a damn tree. You could have total control, total enforcement. But that's not what this country is based on. Presumption of innocence until proven guilty, and that has been flopped. One other thing I wanted to cover here, and we've been talking about this a lot, and it's in Dallas. Dallas, they've got a problem up there. A record number of Dallas police officers quit in July amid ongoing pension crisis. You're going to need to hear this one. We first introduced readers to the Dallas Police and Fire Pension, the DPFP, crisis last summer in a post entitled Dallas Cops Pension Fund Nears Insolvency in Wake of Shady Real Estate Deals. Now, there was an FBI raid behind this one, by the way. For those who have managed to avoid this particular storyline for the past 15 months, here's a brief recap. The Dallas Police and Fire Pension, DPFP, which covers nearly 10,000 police and firefighters, is on the verge of collapse as its board and City of Dallas struggle to pitch benefit cuts to save the plan from complete failure. According to the National Real Estate Investor, the DPFP was once applauded for its diverse investment portfolio, but turns out it may have all been a fraud, as the pension's former real estate investment manager, CDK Realty Advisors, was raided by the FBI in April of last year. And the fund was subsequently forced to mark down their entire real estate book by 32%. Kind of a reevaluation there. Guess it was pretty easy to generate good returns if you manage a book of illiquid assets that can be marked at your discretion. Now, a little bit more background on this deal. Per the Dallas Morning News, Richard Tannemount served as the DPFP's administrator for a couple of decades, right up until he was forced out in June of 2014. Starting in 2005, Tannemount oversaw a plan to diversify the pension into hard assets. I know, you've already figured out where this is going, haven't you? And away from the risky stock market, because there is no risk if you don't have to mark your book every day. By the time the diversification was complete, Tannemount had invested half of the DPFP's assets in, effectively, the housing bubble. Investments included $200 million in luxury apartment buildings in Dallas, luxury Hawaiian homes, a tract of undeveloped land in an Arizona desert, Uruguay Timber, the American Idol production company, and a resort in Napa. I guess that means Napa Valley. Now, despite Hughes' exposure to bubbly 2005-2006 vintage real estate investments, the DPFP assets performed remarkably well through the Great Recession. But as it turns out, Tannemount's performance was only as good as the illiquidity of his investments. We guess returns are easier to come by when you invest your whole book of illiquid private assets and have discretion of how they're valued. Now, folks, if you've got a retirement fund, the manager of that fund is not going to call you up and tell you, hey, you know what, you got money in this account, but, you know, we're looking out for your best interests. He does not give you an itemized line breakdown of where they're putting the money, which, again, brings another question to mind. If this is a retirement fund and the people you work for are kicking some funds in, you're kicking the funds in, you know, why do they have to invest? Why do they have to invest that money? Aside from you knowing you're going to lose part of that due to inflation or actual devaluation while you're earning no more money, or your pay is not being kept up with so-called evil inflation, But they don't have to tell you where this stuff is going, and they sure as hell are not going to tell you when it gets wiped out either. And I got another question here. I mean, they're complaining that, you know, we got detectives have been with the department for years. They're seeking employment elsewhere. To do what? To go to another police department, start up another retirement fund? I don't think you got enough left of your life to do that. Oh, I guess you're accumulated when you get ready to retire, your years will count no matter where you're at, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a cop. I'm not a fireman. But I do know this, that these insolvent retirement funds are just not police and firefighters, just not teachers and through the teachers' union. It's everybody. This is one of the best kept ungodly secrets that they've been sitting on and trying to suppress for a number of years. The good money chased the bad money and got blown up. It is a mess. Now, despite the passage of a plan designed to save the pension by the Texas legislature, back in May, 72 officers decided to quit the force in July. Apparently, they're not convinced that the legislature's plan is going to work. Now, here's the kicker to this. What did we just see Jeff Sessions do last week or the week before? He put asset forfeiture on steroids to all the little PDs across the United States. Gee, fellow officers, I can just about imagine them in the morning lineup now. You know, stay safe out there. Your number one job is to get back to the hooskow here and be in one piece. That's your number one job. Oh, and by the way, your other number one job is to go out there and generate some revenue, because guess what? Your pension is no longer there. This is a recipe for abject, absolute disaster. You don't think these cops out on the street are being a little jaded and a little hard-assed right now? You just wait. Now you're screwing with their six-pack of beer while watching a baseball game in happy retirement, of which they don't have. So they're going to have to get their funds someplace. The states are broke, the federal government's broke, everybody's broke, so how are we going to generate the money? Well, we're going to steal it from you. And we're literally going to become highway robbers. Yes, out there with the officialdom and the sanction of the government, we're going to be robbing you at gunpoint if necessary. Wow. All right. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up, and Jeff Benin is going to give you a little bit more skinny on what condition our condition is in. And I think it's important now, folks, to try to follow the bouncing ball on the bankruptcy and try to make some sense of this, keep everything in context, and move in a proper direction. He'll be doing that for the next hour on the National Intel Report, and I will see you regular time, regular space tomorrow on Friday. I want to thank you for being here today. Stick around, and I will see you tomorrow. Jeff Bennett coming up.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.